If you'd open your Bible to Matthew chapter 21, tonight I want to just depart from our study in Numbers and share at least a little bit of what I had prepared for Sunday morning on the triumphal entry of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we'll look at it from Matthew chapter 21. If you'll follow along, I'm going to read verses 1 through 11 of Matthew 21. Now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord has need of them,' and immediately he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, 'Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey.' So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from palm trees, from the trees, and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, 'Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!' And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, 'Who is this?' So the multitude said, 'This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee.'" As we look at this passage tonight, we see the royal entry of Jesus, the King of Israel, in the first seven verses. And then we see the reception of the multitudes, and verses 8 through 11. And then, of course, we're going to hear the rebuke of the king in verses 12 and 13, followed by the relief of the king. Lastly, the rejection of the Jewish leaders in verses 15 and 16, and the passage going all the way down to verse 17. But as the Lord Jesus Christ rode into Jerusalem, he fulfilled this important prophecy that was given. It's recorded here in verse 5 of Matthew 21, but it's Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9. It was a tremendous fulfillment of prophecy and an indication to the nation of Israel. God gave these prophecies so that the people of Israel would know, this is your Messiah, here he comes, in fulfillment of Old Testament prophecies. If that were the only prophecy that were fulfilled, it certainly might have some suspect to it. But Jesus Christ fulfilled so many prophecies that were foretold of the Messiah. One of them, a very powerful one, we see in verse 14, when the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. Once again, in fulfillment of Old Testament prophecies. Jesus quoted Scripture numerous times on this occasion, and he fulfilled prophecies of Scripture on several occasions, and that makes this a very important event that took place, marking the fulfillment of God's timing when the Lord Jesus Christ would come into Jerusalem. It's interesting to me that in the first three verses of the chapter, Jesus gives instructions to the disciples that reveal his omniscience. Jesus knew where this donkey and its colt was. He knew exactly where they were. He even knew that if someone were to come up and take them, that there would be people there who would object to this. What are you doing taking these animals? And so he gave them the answer. Simple. Just a very simple answer. Not, let me take you aside and tell you what's going on. Listen, let me tell you what's going on here. No. The Lord has need of them. Simple. The Lord has need. Oh, by all means, take them. This whole event just reveals the working of God and the scenes and the event that's taking place, because this is key, fulfilling Zechariah 9:9, that the Messiah, the King, the rightful King of Israel, is riding into Jerusalem. And so the Lord Jesus Christ got the disciples, put their clothes on it, and he got on that donkey, and he rode into Jerusalem, and he came in a very humble way, and yet he was clearly saying to the people of Israel, I am the seed of David. I am the king of Israel. That's what he was announcing to the people as he rode in. Now, the reception of the multitude is tremendous, and many people think of it this time of year. We're told in verse 8 that it was a very great multitude. In chapter 20, verse 29, as the Lord Jesus Christ was even coming to Jerusalem, this crowd was growing and gathering. Chapter 20, verse 29, as they went out of Jericho, that is Jesus and his disciples, a great multitude followed him. So this is a building throng of people who are all coming into Jerusalem with the Lord Jesus Christ. The disciples were well aware of the danger that was there. The Jewish leaders hated the Lord Jesus, and the disciples knew they wanted to kill Jesus. They wanted to put him to death. They were very aware that this was the case. Jesus had been not often in Jerusalem at this time, but in Galilee because of the Jewish leadership, whether it was the chief priests, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, all of them in concert wanting to get rid of Jesus Christ. But here comes the Lord Jesus in fulfillment of the prophecy, and he's thronged with a multitude of people, and they are receiving him with the words in verse 9, Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest. Now, I do want to go back to Psalm 118 for a moment. If you can keep your finger here in Matthew, in Psalm 118, we have the words that are being quoted by the multitude in verses 25 and 26. The word I want to focus on just a little bit tonight is the word Hosanna. That's a word that is thought of and recognized this time of year as we think of Jesus' triumphal entry. Notice here in Psalm 118, notice verse 25, save now, I pray, O Lord. O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. Now, didn't you see the word Hosanna? You didn't see it, did you? The word Hosanna, and I put this in the bulletin, they're over there, just so you could reflect upon it, it's a Syriac word, and it's a form of acclamation that was used among the Jewish people very often in many of their Jewish feast days. This was a celebration word. They would shout, Hosanna, especially the Feast of Tabernacles was one of the feasts that they would shout this word, Hosanna. According to the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia, the seventh day of the joyous Feast of Tabernacles came to be called the Great Hosanna, or Hosanna Day. Now, here, if you look, first of all, at verse 25, our English Bible begins with the words, save now, I pray, O Lord. That's how it's translated in the English. In the Hebrew, it literally says, I pray, Lord, save now. So it's just switched around. In the Hebrew, it says, I pray. And that's the word, the Hebrew word, Ana. The word Lord is God's proper name, Yahweh. And then the words, save now, as you probably are well aware, are what came to be the expression, Hosanna. It's a Syriac word, but in the Hebrew, you have the word save here in the form that it's in is hoasia, hoasia, save. And then the word now is a form of the word for pray. Pray is ana, but now is just na, na. So it's hoasiana. Did you hear that? Hoasiana. Well, that came down through different languages to the first century to be a common expression of the Jewish people to say, Hosanna. They would say it kind of like today people say who are Christians, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Now that is the equivalent of the Hebrew hallelujah, which was an interchangeable word with Hosanna. They would say hallelujah, they would say Hosanna. It came to be a great expression of joy. Here in the psalm, this is actually a prayer. In the psalm, the psalmist is asking the Lord. Hosanna came to be an exclamation of joy and praise, looking for God's blessing. Hosanna. And the psalmist here is praying, Lord, save us. Send your blessing. Now, they quoted verse 26. Verse 26 are the words they expressed. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And that's what Jesus is doing as he got on that colt and he rode the donkey into Jerusalem in fulfillment of Zechariah 9:9. Psalm 118, Psalm 117, Psalm 116, these three are part of what the Hebrews call the Hillel. And they would be different ones sung, these psalms, at different feast days, especially the Passover, especially the Feast of Tabernacles, these praise psalms. And of course, rich with meaning is Psalm 118 when you realize the expression of salvation. Well, when we come now, when we go back to Matthew chapter 21, the Jews were not receiving Jesus as the sacrifice for their sins when they made this expression, Hosanna. They were expressing God's blessing as he who came in the name of the Lord, the rightful King of Israel, the Messiah. That is what they are expressing. But it is interesting to me, the word save now, or in the Hebrew, hoosia, it comes from the Hebrew word yasha. And the Hebrew word yasha is salvation. Salvation, yasa, save now, hoosia na. And the Lord Jesus Christ's name, of course, is Yeshua. Yasha, save, or salvation. Yeshua, which is Savior. We get our English name Joshua. That's Yeshua, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then you have Hosanna, which is from the Syriac, an expression of this Hebrew, save now, save us. And that's what Jesus Christ was doing. He was riding into Jerusalem, lowly, humble, knowing exactly where he was going. He wasn't going to a throne. He was going to the cross to save us from our sins. Well, that's the reception of the multitude. Notice now in verses 12 and 13, we see the rebuke of the king. The Lord Jesus Christ went right into the temple and he drove out. Now, when you read Mark's gospel and you piece it together with Luke's gospel especially, you find out that this event in verse 12 actually took place on the next day. When Jesus rode into Jerusalem, he went into the temple. And Matthew's not dividing the days. He's just telling you what Jesus Christ did. But Luke tells us it actually happened on the next day. Because it was late, he went back out to Bethany, and then he came back in on Monday. And this event takes place, the rebuke. He went back into the temple of God, and he drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple, overturned the tables of the money changers, and the seats of those who sold the doves. And so the Lord Jesus Christ drove out all those who were conducting business on the temple grounds. Now, at this time, of course, it would have been very, very busy. And there would have been a lot of merchandising going on because this is the Passover. And there were a lot of Jews who came from around the different parts of Jerusalem, Judea, even other parts of the empire. Jewish people would be gathering together at the temple in Jerusalem. And so there would be a lot of merchandising going on. And Jesus drives them all out and tells them why in verse 13. Jesus then quotes another Old Testament quote from Isaiah 56, verse 7. It is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And this is just a tremendous rebuke that the Lord Jesus Christ gives. And it really gets under the skin of the Jewish leadership, the religious leadership. They do not appreciate this. They do not know and want to know what authority he thinks he has that he should drive them out. I think that the Lord Jesus' quote here is really, really helpful with answering that. I'm looking at Isaiah 56 and verse 7 right now. But God says in verse 6 of Isaiah 56, the sons of the foreigner who join themselves to the Lord. These would be proselytes, people who became followers of Jehovah. But they were foreigners. To the Lord to serve him, and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants. Everyone who keeps from defiling the Sabbath and holds fast my covenant, the whole law that they would have to keep if they were to be a follower of Judaism. Even them I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. That's what Jesus quoted. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. The Lord anticipated that the Gentiles would be able to come and be able to worship the Lord, but it would be by means of the Jewish temple practice. And now, with this merchandising going on, that's not the scene and the setting. When Jesus came in, it was hustling and it was bustling with all kind of activity of merchandising and the opportunity to make money. Where? On the very grounds of the temple itself. Not in the temple proper, but in the outer court. On the very grounds of the temple. And of course, this was offensive to God. Here we see how serious God is about his house. It's to be a place of prayer. A place where there's quiet and an opportunity to unite our hearts to seek the Lord. Isn't that precious as we gather together tonight? God's house. Now, we don't come in the building as God's house. We come together as God's house in this age. We are the church, the body of Christ, living stones. What is God's house to be? A house of prayer. It's a beautiful, beautiful picture and the rebuke that the Lord Jesus Christ gave. Now, then there's the relief of the king. In verse 14, as I said, Jesus healed the lame, the blind, who came to him in the temple. As all the merchandisers are pushed out, and you know when somebody interrupts what's going on, there's an awkwardness, isn't there? There's an awkwardness here. But this is an opportunity for those who were in great need, the lame, the blind. They came to the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the powerful moment when the Lord Jesus Christ healed them. They wanted to know, in verse 15, when they saw this, they wanted to know, and they were indignant that Jesus would stop all this praise that he was receiving, which the Lord Jesus Christ did receive, all the hosannas. Here, I'm going to pick it up reading because I didn't read these verses. Verse 12, I'm going to read through verse 16. Then Jesus went into the temple of God, drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple, and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer,' but you have made it a den of thieves." Then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and, please notice, the children crying out in the temple and saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant and said to him, "Do you hear what these are saying?" And Jesus said to them, "Yes. Have you never read, 'Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise'?" As the leaders are indignant with what the Lord Jesus Christ is doing, and that means to be upset, to be displeased, that's the word. And they were very upset and very displeased. I mean, I really think they were beside themselves as you see how they challenge his authority as the week goes on. In verse 23, we see when Jesus Christ came into the temple, the chief priests, the elders confronted him as he was teaching, saying, "By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority?" Now we come back to verse 14. In verse 14, the relief of the king, when the Lord Jesus Christ healed them, he demonstrated the authority. This was God who had sent him in. And this was the Son of God on behalf of his Father who said, "You have made my Father's house." He was describing himself as the Son of God and declaring his authority. And then he was backing it up with these miracles. Once again, this is a fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. Isaiah chapter 35, verses 4 and 6 say to those who are fearful-hearted, "Be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. For waters shall burst forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert." Now that hasn't happened yet, and that will happen when Jesus returns to establish his kingdom. But please note that the Lord Jesus Christ came and fulfilled everything that is said here in verse 5 about healing the blind and healing the deaf and healing the lame. This is his credential demonstrating the power of God and healing these who came to him. And what does this passage say? Behold, your God will come to you with vengeance. Jesus Christ went into the temple and he drove all the merchandisers out and he ascribed greatness to his father's house. It's a place of prayer. And then it says these words, he will come and save you. Isn't that powerful? The Lord Jesus Christ went in, drove out all the merchandising, and then by the end of the week, the Lord Jesus Christ yielded himself to the cross that he might save us from our sins. Wonderful demonstration of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, as we read in verses 15 and 16, the rejection of the leaders, they were indignant, they were upset, and what did the Lord Jesus Christ do? He quoted from Scripture, Psalm 8:2. Did you see how Jesus Christ emphasized the Scriptures in everything he said and did? Everything here was in accordance with the Word of God and laid it out and he fulfilled it and he quoted it, showing and demonstrating the very important scene that's taking place here. This was all ordained of God in fulfillment of the prophecies. Israel, here is your Messiah, the King. He's the seed of David. And the people were right to cry out to him, Hosanna. And when the adults apparently stopped, the children continued on. And Jesus quoted from Psalm 8 and verse 2, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise. Well, God is free to do whatever he wants. Remember what the Lord Jesus Christ, we're told in Luke, said? If the people stopped, what would start singing? The rocks would cry out. All of God's creation is created for his purpose and for his glory. And the people were right to sing, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, because that's exactly what Jesus did. He came in the name of the Lord to heal and to save. And so the Lord Jesus Christ rode in and presented himself in terms of Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9.